So, good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful morning in Colorado. The leaves are changing. It's supposed to get up to almost 70 degrees today, and it's sunny, and we got the Word of God. Diane, why don't you have an opening word of prayer?
Well, gracious Father, we're so thankful for the great life that you've given us while we're here upon this earth, that you supply our each and every need, and you know us all personally, and you know what our heart's desires are. In fact, you give us the desires of our heart. So continue to lead us in a good way. Protect us from the evil one. Work in our hearts to draw us to you and draw people to us that we can help and teach and show how to walk and talk with you in a very mighty and powerful way. Continue to give us great courage and strength that we can stand against all the wiles of the devil, because he's working overtime right now, Father, and we command in the name of Jesus Christ that all the schemes of the devil completely and absolutely fail. This great reset, everything the World Economic Forum and the evildoers who are the sons and daughters of the lowest form of life that exists, the devil, I cause them to fall into their own evil traps, and that these schemes fail in a big way, because they have no right to do anything evil to the sons and daughters of the Most High God. So we claim your great protection. We claim that there is justice, that these people do not get away with the evil that they're doing. Continue to expose the truth. Continue to open the eyes of the understanding of the people of our state, our states, our country, and the world, so that they can see what the devil is planning for humanity, and that it fails because we stand with the one true God against this evil. And Father, let your will prevail. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we look forward to watching you bear your mighty arm on our behalf. You roll up your sleeves and you work for us, and you call upon your mighty angel armies to protect your children that are here upon this earth. And so, Father, we look forward to seeing this great deliverance. In fact, we see it all the time, because you've never stopped working on our behalf. You continue to work, and nothing is too great or too small for you to handle. Nothing is too great or too small to see great victory. And if you would care about the very tiniest things in our lives, of course you would care about the great things. And so we just, again, look forward to watching the work. And thank you, Father, for allowing us to live in this day and time and experience all this great and mighty acts of God Almighty. So we love you dearly, and bless our children, bless the next generations, raise them up to be the men and women that you've called them to be. And Father, again, we just love you so dearly. In Christ's name, amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful God that you are. Thank you for always giving us what we need in this life, Father. Well, give us health. Give us strength. Give us a long life. Give us a healthy life. Give us freedom. Give us liberty. Protect us from the schemes of the devil. Every single last one of them, Father. Protect us from the devil. And lead us in a good way, Father. You've got a way prepared for us that you want us to walk in, and just show us what that is, Father. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. And now we'll have some manifestations of the Spirit. Diane, would you have a word of prophecy?
For behold, my children, I have called you to be my very own. So don't fear anything that you see in this world. There's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be deceptions. There's always going to be lies and stealing and killing and destroying and all that other stuff that the devil does. But fear not. I'm greater than that. I won't let you fall. I won't let him have his way with you. You are children of the Most High God. So walk in the light of that and know that I got your back, I got your front, I got your top, I got your bottom, I got your whole being, because I am the creator of the heavens and the earth, the all-powerful God Almighty, who happens to be your dear and loving and kind and gracious Father. So don't worry about what the devil tries to tell you. You just say no. He has no power over the children of the Most High God. You say no to him. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Know that my love covers all things. My love is greater than anything the devil can push. Just continue to look to me.
And yea, of a truth, my children, know that I am the one true God. Yea, no, there are no gods before me. All other gods are false gods. But look unto me, for I am the one true God. I desire a relationship with each one of you where I can be your best friend and you can be my best friend. I will walk with you. I will talk with you. I will give you what you need. I will protect you from the evil one. Together we can back him down and he will flee. He does present himself like a roaring lion, but when you stand and you speak and you believe, he has to flee because of what my son Jesus Christ did. So go forth, my children, and fear nothing. Well, Father, thanks for those words. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I was thinking about this. Well, before I start on my verses here, I was thinking about this because in life, there's seasons. And this year, fall seems to have come a little late in Colorado, but it's definitely here now. And the leaves are changing, and it's, you know, fall is different than spring, which is different than summer and winter. And there's like every month has a season. You have a full moon, you have a new moon, and even days have like season. You know, there's morning, there's afternoon, there's night, and you know, maybe a rainstorm comes through and things like that. But life is changing, but it's also repetitive. And God set up seasons, you know, because of the way the earth is on a tilt, we have seasons. And because of the moon, there's high tide and there's low tide. And all these things make our life better. It makes it easier to grow crops. And there's just seasons in life. And so what does it say here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1? To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to plunk up. Yeah, we have tomorrow off because Diane and I have tomorrow off. We don't have to go to work tomorrow. And we're going to harvest our sweet potatoes, so it's going to be time to pluck up. But there's also, we do a winter garden because generally here, the winters here are warm enough that we can grow certain frost-tolerant crops. So we're going to be planting and harvesting. And a time to kill. You know, sometimes there's wars. And a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to get, keep, and a time to cast away. And a time to rend. Rend is Old English, means to tear. And a time to sow. Let's see, where was I? I lost my voice here. Seven. There I am. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time to war and a time to peace. See, there's a seasons in life. And I have to give you guys some bad news, unfortunately. Our good friend Kelly fell asleep.
Oh.
And he was fighting a very devastating and dangerous cancer. And he lived longer than the doctors said he should have. But he fell, it was about a week ago, I think. I don't know the exact date, but he fell asleep, and we're going to miss him. He was a wonderful person that would sometimes join our fellowship, and he's waiting the return of Christ, and he will, we'll see him at the return. And it's very unfortunate, but anyway, we'll miss Kelly, and we are thankful we got to share our life with him when he was here on earth. But there are, that getting back to the word here, there's seasons. There's a lot of different seasons. So let's go to Luke chapter 4. And 2,000 years ago, the season was right for Christ to come. People had been waiting thousands of years for a Savior. Since Adam fell and turned this world over to Satan, the devil rules this world. And finally, the season came that was the fullness of times. Jesus Christ was born of a woman. And here he is in Luke chapter 4. He's an adult man. And this is the beginning of his ministry. He was just baptized by John. And in the Old Testament, they did not have to be baptized, or in the New Testament, did not have to be baptized to be saved. But the baptism was a ceremony that said, we're so screwed up that we need to come back to God like we're proselytes, and like we just don't deserve it. And the baptism was part of the ceremony that would signify that. And so that's why John the Baptist came before Jesus Christ, and Israel had pretty much walked away from God, as they had multiple times. And so chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See, that's what I want to be in my life. I want to be led by the Spirit. And being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, afterward he was hungry. Yeah, I would be too. Sometimes I get hungry after 40 minutes. And the devil said unto him, oh, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you command this stone that it be turned into bread? You know, that to our Western culture, that doesn't seem to make much sense. But their culture, they had this flat bread they would eat. And it was round, sort of like a tortilla. It would be the closest thing in our culture. And they would put a stone on top of it to hold it in place after they make the bread. And so there's another scripture that says if we ask God for Holy Spirit, would he not give us the real thing instead of giving us a stone? The devil saying, well, you know, you just turn the stone into bread. You got the power. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power I'll give you in the glory thereof, for it was delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. So that's why our governments around the world, locally, nationally, and internationally, why there's so many evil people, because for the most part, the people that get put into power in this world are people that worship Satan. I mean, if it was true here in the Gospels, why wouldn't it be true today? You see, well, sometimes people think, well, that happened in the Bible, but surely it can't happen today. Well, things work the same way. Sometimes things change, and like, remember, there are seasons. There's a season when things are more godly, and there's a season where things are more evil. But what we do when things are evil is we rebuke the devil. And what did Jesus Christ... Oh, here, let me read verse 7 first. If you want to, he's saying to Jesus, hey, if you want, worship me, and I'll give you all this. And Jesus answered and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Diane and I pray every night, and we've got to the point that pretty much every night when we pray, we say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And we back him off in our life and in our sphere of influence. And we do that daily. And that's what a son of God is supposed to do. We're sons of God, the same thing, same way Jesus Christ was. Well, a little bit different. But we have the same spiritual power he did. "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Remember good old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Yes. Yep.
Hey, when you hear the sound of the sackbut and the psaltery, you know, I got some nice music. We were talking about musical instruments before, you know, I got a guitar hanging on the wall, and I was showing people my bass guitar, and, you know, I need to get a sackbut and a psaltery.
Yeah, really.
That's my Christmas present, Diane. Sackbut and a psaltery.
The girls and I are on it.
I have no idea what the heck it is. But anyway,
find a sack butt and a psaltery.
But anyway, when they played it was musical instruments. I'm digressing for comic relief. But when they played the music, everybody had to bow. If you don't get the shot, you can't go to work. If you don't do this, you can't do that. If you don't bow, you're gonna burn. And so they said, "No, we're not gonna bow." And they threw him in the furnace, and they said, "Hey, the guys that threw him in were burned up and died, but yet they're walking around." And there was a fourth guy in there. It was an angel. It looked like the Son of God. Couldn't be the Son of God because he wasn't there yet, but it was an angel there. And then they came out, and they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. You know, when I cook burgers today for fellowship, I go out to the grill, I end up smelling a little bit of smoke. I can smell my shirt, and there'll be smell of smoke. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. That's how complete God's deliverance is. But God does the heavy lifting. What we do, we just have to take a stand. We say no. When the devil says, "Well, you need to do this," and we say, "No, we don't want to do that." And we don't have to. God will deliver. God delivered Jesus Christ. And they brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, "Oh, if you're really the Son of God, just, hey, let's be Evel Knievel. And you can jump off and you'll land soft and you won't get hurt. You know, you can jump the Grand Canyon." I remember there was a comedy show on TV, and it was Fernwood Tonight. Anybody remember that stupid show? Oh my God, it was stupid funny. Anyway, they had a guy on. They were making fun of Evel Knievel, and he said, "Well, I'm gonna jump boxcars, and I'm not gonna do it with a motorcycle. I'm gonna do it with a railroad train. I'm gonna jump." He said, "I haven't quite figured out how when I land to get it to go back on the tracks, though." It was stupid. It was a stupid show. But anyway, God doesn't want us to do daredevil stuff. You know, I don't go out and say, "Well, God protects me. I can drive down the street with a blindfold on and I won't hit nothing." No, we don't do stupid things. God expects us to use common sense. But he will protect us. In verse 10, the devil, devil knows the Bible. He knows how to misquote it and misuse it. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And their hands will bear you up, and lest any time you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said, "You stupid jerk." No, he didn't actually say that, but I sometimes wonder if there's stuff they left out of the text. It is said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And what, verse 13, this is amazing. "And the devil ended his temptation and departed him from him for a season." See, we can't stop the devil from operating his ministry. We can't stop him from doing temptations. But we resist. We say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he has to depart for a season. That's the word of God. We're in a season now where the devil's working overtime. and all over our country and all over this world. God needs people that will stand. And again, God does the heavy lifting. Jesus Christ had to be crucified and die to give us the Holy Spirit. What does God want for us? He wants us to be Romans 12 living sacrifices. So what does God want? Does God want us, we got to wear funny clothes. We got to get up at 5 a.m. and pray until our knees hurt, get down, and we got to do... No, God wants to be our best friend. God wants to walk with us and talk with us. God wants to be part of our lives. And what does he ask in return? He just wants somebody that'll stand and speak his word and rebuke the devil. It's pretty easy. It's also fun. I remember years ago, we were running a Bible class. I was living in California. We were running a Bible class, and we're doing these tapes. And the next thing you know, out in front of our house, there was a couple cars. We lived near a school, and they were having a ball game, basketball game, and there was a lot of parking, and it was hard for the cars to get by each other on the street. So there was two cars butting each other, and were honking at each other. So I go out and I said, would you please quit honking? We're running a Bible study class in our house, and we'd appreciate it if you wouldn't make the noise and disrupt the meeting. And the one woman was very apologetic, so I'm sorry, but the other guy was a real jerk. And he said, no, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna honk my horn. So I looked at him and I said, get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. And he starts up his car, puts it in reverse, backs it up, and says, I'm not going to leave. The lying spirit, but I kicked the spirit out, and it took the guy with him, took his car with him. They left, the honking stopped, and it was successful. See, that's what God wants us to do. We have to take a stand, you know, and it's not hard to do. It takes a little bit of backbone. It takes a little bit of boldness. But it's not like we got to bleed and suffer and we got to, you know, what's that religion where there's several religions where they whip themselves and torture themselves and suffer. And God doesn't want us to do any of that. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to have good health. God wants us to win. All right, I was going to read more stuff here. I was going to read this whole chapter, but I'm running out of time. But you get down and it's verse 17, it was delivered him to book of Isaiah. Whoops, dropping my Bible here. And he found the place where it is written, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You know, this world is designed to take your heart, run it through a meat grinder, throw it on the ground, and stomp on it. But God's word and God is there to heal your heart. And so you got to look unto God. Yeah, stuff happens, but God can heal the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captives. You know, we sometimes complain about stuff that's going on in the United States. We have first world problems. Like, oh my God, my gasoline costs $3 a gallon instead of $1.50. There's people in Australia that are being locked up in camps because they won't obey the government and won't get their vaccination. Well, we got it a lot easier than they do. But you preach deliverance to the captives. If they stand, they can win. Recovering sight to the blind. God can literally... Now, this is talking about blind, but it's talking about all illnesses and all diseases. God is a God of healing. There is no disease he can't heal. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. God is a God of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is still the acceptable year of the Lord. Everybody listening to this is born again. Your sons of God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You've been anointed to preach all this stuff that Jesus Christ was anointed to preach. And he closed the book and he gave it again in verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And what did they do? Did they rejoice? No, they didn't. They weren't happy. In verse 28, and all this, they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill where the city was built, that they might they wanted to throw him off a cliff and kill him. He presented the Savior had come, that people had been waiting thousands of years, finally showed up in their synagogue, preached the word to them, and what did they want to do? They wanted to throw him off a cliff. Verse 30, what did Jesus Christ do? He just passed through the midst of them and went his own way. See, God will protect us. You know, they threaten us. Oh, we're going to do this to you. God will protect us. They can't lay a hand on us. Let's go to James. James. There's a very interesting book that I would recommend everybody read called The Two Ways of the First Century Church, which casts amazing light on the book of Acts and the book of James. But I don't have time to get into that right now, and I'm still flipping pages. But James chapter 4.
In fact, don't we have a copy of that on our on your website?
What? I have a link to it, yes.
And you can read it for free online.
You can read it online. I should download a copy and put it on my website. But anyway, I digress. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He'll come. There'll be seasons when he comes, and he'll come to your face and say, oh, are you really a son of God? Do you really have health? Do you really have abundance? Blah, 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 blah. And we just say, Satan, get thee behind me. And sooner or later, he'll make a stink for a while. And he's like a skunk. He comes, he makes a stink, and then we rebuke him, and then he has to leave and take his stink with him. So we're going to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. So, we live in the real world. You're going to have cares. Stuff happens. Your little kid goes to school and loses his lunch money, or you go to work and you get car gets a flat tire, or stuff's always going wrong. Big things, little things. But God's interested in all the things in our life. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I was thinking about the devil and how he works. And yesterday I was watching, remember that old show, The Addams Family? Yeah. And they had that guy, Lurch, was 6'9", and it was Ted Cassidy. And he had the disease of too much growth hormone. I forget the name
gigantism.
Of it. We call it giantism. There's a specific medical name for the disease. And basically, people, they get bigger than they're supposed to get. And like Goliath had that. And then what happens is these people are really big, and they look really strong and really powerful, but they have, because of that, they also have weaknesses. They generally get heart problems. They generally get vision problems. They generally get all sorts of other problems. And if you remember the record in David and Goliath, he had somebody bearing his shield before him. He was huge, but he was a paper tiger. He was a lion that roared, but he was looked more dangerous than he actually was. And that's the way the devil works. He'll come at you and go, ah! He'll come at you, disease, poverty, famine, pestilence, fear, whatever. And it looks really bad, but what we do is we back off the devil and we rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, get thee behind it. And he has to back off. But anyway, I was watching this video, and Ted Cassidy, he died at 46 years old. You know, and he had a massive heart problem. Didn't he live to be 50? Another guy that was like that was Andre the Giant. Remember, if you ever watched that movie,
Princess Bride.
Thank you. It's a really funny movie. If you got kids, it's a great movie for kids or grandkids. And, I mean, his hand is, one of his fingers is like about this big around, like three of mine. He's just huge guy. And he's got this deep voice. But he eventually got really sick, and I think he died before he was 50. And see, that's the way the devil is. He looks, because at one point he was Lucifer. He was the angel of light. He was the second most powerful spiritual being in the entire cosmos. But now he's damaged. He's not going to live eternally like we are. He's damaged goods. He still has a lot of power. He still has authority. He can still pull a lot of stuff. But we have the power and authority to rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ, and we can back him down. And there is a day coming he's going to be consumed in the lake of fire. So what does it say in verse 9? Whom we give in to.
No,
we just let him have his way with us.
No.
We just give up and just roll over and just hide under. And, you know, I don't feel like going outside today.
No.
Woe's me. The world's going down the tubes, and the tubes are greased. Oh, geez. I woke up. I had a pimple on my nose today. I don't feel like going to work. No, we resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See, everybody, the devil doesn't just attack us. He attacks everybody. He'll attack the believers, he'll attack the unbelievers, he'll attack the rich, he'll attack the poor. That's what he does. But we resist. And that's what God's called us to do. And remember John 10:10, today's 10:10, October 10th. John 10:10, he said he'll give us the more abundant life. God will give us everything we need to resist everything we need to resist the devil. And that is the abundant life. And like I said two or three times already, is that God did the heavy lifting. Jesus Christ did the heavy lifting. We just need to resist steadfastly in the faith. And one more thing. We're going to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to end it up here, and then I'll open it up for people to talk. And I'm going to read it out of the Message. We've all heard the King James is actually a very good translation for this, but I'm going to read this out of the Message right now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it's not the most accurate translation in the world, but sometimes they capture things in the Message that King James doesn't really capture. So verse 10, and that about wraps it up. God is strong. He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget in a couple hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. I'll stop here for a second. See, on our own, we can't take on the devil. Without the power of God in Christ in us, because greater than he that's in us than he that's in the world, without that spiritual power, we can't stand up to the devil. But with that spiritual power, we can. So that's why it says, be prepared, take all the help you get. Be prepared for, oops, let me read what's written here, sorry. Be prepared, you're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, you'll be shouting and you'll be the one still on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. So, thank you, God, for your wonderful word. And thank you for giving us the weapons to fight the devil and resist him. Thank you for giving us the spiritual authority and power. And Father, give us all a backbone. Give us a fire in our belly to stand for you and to stand against the devil. And to pray for our fellow believers and to pray to right the wrongs in this world. And Father, let this season of evil end. I command in the name of Jesus Christ that it ends. And let there be a season of godliness and a season of peace and tranquility, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life, and that the devil has to back down and depart for a season. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.